Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today in the studio in Dallas, Texas, thank you, KWRD, Marilyn Meberg and Shannon Etheridge. Thank you guys for being here.
You betcha.
This is fun.
Thanks like for it. Having us.
Okay, I got a question for you. Marilyn, you were married for quite some time before Ken passed on. Shannon, you've had a long marriage also. And so I want to ask you, what do you think is the most important thing that a couple could do to improve their marriage? Or what is something that you did or do that made your marriage work? Just off the top of your head, this
isn't
prepared.
Off the top of my head, Marilyn would say, since I'm sitting next to the sex expert, that I so respect and admire what she's doing. Fabulous things in the Christian world. So balanced, so biblical. However, Ken and I perhaps would have benefited from your knowledge, Shannon, but I think the most fun thing about life is to be able to laugh and to have a good time. And Ken and I laughed, and it was there were times in our lives that were not laughable. Mm-hmm. Our circumstances were tough, but we always managed to find something that was funny. He had a great sense of humor, off the wall, much as my prone to be. And I think it's very solidifying to the relationship.
I think that's great. You know, one of my little mottos in life is when things happen, find the Lord in it, find the lesson, and find the laughter.
Good.
Love
very
it.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Love,
or
love, love it.
Find the jewel, find Jesus, and find the joke you can make out of
excellent.
It. That's
excellent.
Another way to put it. So, Shannon, what do you think? What's a real key?
Well, of course, I'm going to say develop deeper levels of sexual intimacy, just because that's my soapbox. Mm-hmm. That's my deal. But I would also say that simplifying our lives and getting completely out of financial debt has just relieved so much stress from our lives in the past and allowed us to give to so many ministries like New Life. So I think that so many couples divorce because of either sexual frustrations or money and debt. And so addressing those two issues, I think, are huge. But I love the laughter thing, too.
You can do that and still have those other two.
That's right. You can laugh more when you have more sex and less debt, right?
Well, if your partner's not particularly good, you can laugh a lot. And that will make them feel so good about themselves.
maybe not.
Perhaps not. Okay.
Anyway, thanks for that wise advice there. Laugh while you're having sex. And I think that's going to change a lot of people's lives that have listened to us here today.
I think
we've got a lot of callers.
Isn't there, Shannon?
We've got a lot of callers on the line. And maybe we could just meet one of them real quick before we go to the break. And how about Joseph from New York, New York? Hey, Joseph, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Thank you for being here.
Yeah, you're cutting out. I don't know. We may not be able to help you here. Can you try again? Oh. Can you say? Yeah.
All right. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Are you off the speakerphone?
Yes, yes.
Okay. How could we help you today?
All right. I just have a quick question. I've been dating a girl for almost 2 years now.
How many?
Almost
How long?
2 years.
2 years, okay.
Yes, and now we're thinking more of in the line of an engagement.
Uh-huh.
But we have trouble connecting spiritually and emotionally. So I just wanted to know, what can I do to improve that?
Okay. But even though you're having a hard time connecting, you're thinking about moving forward. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, well, it's not like we don't connect, But sometimes, I guess it's because I'm 10 years older than her.
You're 10 years
older? And probably a little bit more mature spiritually. Okay.
We can help you. Hold on.
Everyone at some level needs help. You may have prayed for help many times and feel like you've tried everything. Let New Life's Healing is a Choice workshop help. Steve Arterburn and New Life's group counselors help you deal with your challenge.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out, defeated, stuck in the realization of my pitiful reality. I've been sinking in my circumstances and my pain.
Anger, depression, sexual abuse, abortion, grief, and other groups help you focus on just the issue you're dealing with.
This weekend has been a total gift. I feel like I finally have a game plan to follow to help healing begin.
The next Healing is a Choice workshop is Friday, July 18th through the 20th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with practical tools to use to get unstuck, and I leave here with five new sisters who totally know where I've been and where I am right now.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and right now we're talking with Joseph, who's calling from New York and thinking about engagement but having a difficult time connecting. Joseph, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Joseph, how old are you and how old is she?
She's going to be 22 and I'm 32.
22 and 32. And so is she graduating from college?
No, she's still in college and working at the same time.
Okay. Now, here's an issue that doesn't really relate to age. It relates to your status or your life experiences. And, you know, if she doesn't graduate from college and maybe have a year or two of freedom to do what she wants to do, she's going to miss a stage in life that she might regret all of her life. You're at a different stage than she is, and I just think you need to give a lot of consideration to that. But let's hear from Sherry and from Maryland. What do you guys think about
We were talking during the break, and we were wondering who in the relationship is complaining that there's a lack of spiritual and emotional connection. Joseph, is this something that you're feeling, or is this something that she's feeling and complaining about?
Yeah, I am the one who's feeling that.
Okay. Have you given any thought to the fact that she may not be spiritually and emotionally mature enough yet at 22 years old to really feel like a match for you?
Yeah, sometimes those are the thoughts that come to mind. And I mean, even though in the past, like, I tried, we talk, and that's the discussion we have to see if we're on the same page. And, I mean, she seems to be, like, very strong about our relationship. Sometimes I ask her if maybe we need a break to see where we are and then pray about it. But she's the one that says, no, I don't want us to have a break. Get a break. So
if you feel the need for a break, even if she doesn't, would you be willing to ask for a break?
I would. I'm just not sure if that's the right thing to do or the best thing
I
can do.
You know, if you were 70 and she were 60, 10 years wouldn't really matter much. But when somebody is coming out of college and you've been out of college for 10 years, it really is a bit of an issue.
All right.
You know, when I married my wife, our kids were 6 years apart, and we felt like we were at the same stage of life, and so it worked well, even though she's younger than me. But this is one of those things where we say, what stage of life are both of you in, and you're really at two very different stages?
I think the fact that you, Joseph, are unsure, you need to listen to those feelings,
mm-hmm.
and follow up those feelings with some thoughts. as Steve was suggesting, a change might be good for you to take a break, whether she wants to or not, and to hear what it is you truly want. She may not be able to satisfy the emotional need that you have for connection. She may not even understand it.
Well, and to think about moving deeper with someone that you're having a hard time connecting with, it kind of doesn't right. make sense. Shannon,
sounds
you
like
have
a... Sounds like a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
We always talk to women about how you can't change men. You can't change men. Yeah, my saying is you can't change a man unless he's in diapers. I think the same is true for men who are seeing a woman.
That's a horrifying thought.
I think the same is true for men who are seeing women. If they're thinking, well, this has got to change and this has got to change, you most likely won't change mm-hmm. her. She has to grow and evolve and mature and blossom at her own pace. Mm-hmm. And even dating someone 10 years older is not going to fast forward that process. So if you're thinking that something has to change before this relationship is marriage material, I would say that that's probably a big red flag that this is probably not marriage material.
Totally.
All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to send you a copy of Is This the One? And I hope that's going to answer a question for you and give you some relief in your decision. But, you know, here's the thing. Here's the tough thing about life. Usually, the right thing is the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
so
you
true.
Hate that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And especially when it comes to relationships, we want to be sure that our 2-year investment pays off. And of course, that's just human nature. And sometimes the greatest gift that we can give ourselves and our God is to do the tough thing and say, I'm just simply going to have to walk away from this.
Mm-hmm. But then you're free and available for when someone who is more spiritually and emotionally matched to where right. you are in life. That sappy song, it's sad to belong to someone else when the right one comes along. It doesn't sound like she may not be the right one for now. She might be someday, you never know, but you need to give her that opportunity to become who she's going to be before making the judgment call of putting that ring on her finger and making her belong to you.
What is that thing about, you can keep a butterfly in your hands, but it's not really yours until you let it go and get hit by a lawnmower or something like that.
Something tragic. You're making that up.
I was thinking he's really butchering this seagull analogy thing.
Whatever.
It was a butterfly, not a seagull.
I thought it was a seagull.
No, he said a butterfly.
If you love something, set it free. But it was in the 70s, there was a seagull plaque that said
that. Oh, it was?
I remember seeing
it
on the wall.
So I can't remember back.
Or, I don't know. But anyway, there's something like that that could really be of benefit in this situation, and I hope that you'll find it. And I'm really, really sorry that that this is so tough. But man, when you're talking about a lifetime commitment in marriage, and it's not just commitment, and it's a contract, and it's not just a contract, it's really a covenant relationship that you're making with another person. You don't want to rush into something, especially if there's that disconnection that's there.
And I can hear Steve Arterburn's voice in my head saying, perhaps this is not Mrs. Right. Perhaps this is Mrs. Right Now or Mrs. Mm-hmm. Right in front of you, but not Mrs. Right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help, or newlife.com. And the other place you can go and get some help, of course, is to tv.newlife.com. Therapy on demand, $9.95 a month, hundreds of hours of video, same price, much cheaper actually than a single therapy session. And right now, if you want to see a clip by Dr. John Townsend on why we need boundaries, it's right there for you. So go there and check it out. I think you're going to like tv.newlife.com. A lot of people are raving about it, saying, I can't believe it is so beautiful and special and so informative, and they listen. All right, let's go to Charlotte from Annapolis, Maryland. Hi, Charlotte. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Great. How could we help you today?
I am calling because our family's been through a bunch of transition. I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer in 2011, and we are trying to get through addiction in our home. We have 4 sons, and our youngest son is 10, and he has really developed an emotional attachment to food. And I have struggled with eating disorders, and sometimes I feel very much judgment from my own mother about my weight and what I eat, and I don't know how to approach my child. I'm really concerned about him, but I don't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
I'm just going to see what your suggestions are for that.
I need to ask you, Charlotte, with stage 3 cancer, where are you right now with that?
I'm good. I had a rectal cancer, and they burned it, took it out, poisoned it. So I'm in good shape.
Okay,
good.
I was out of pocket for about a year in recovery. I had 4 sons between the ages of 16 and 8.
Wow.
And
wow.
And when I got back, I was really faced with some unaddressed alcoholism in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen my children kind of turn toward substance abuse, and this child turned towards food. And
old is this child?
So this is the 4th child.
And he's 10?
How old?
He's 10.
Okay.
Charlotte, the question that I had in my mind is, you know, like I have a 19-year-old son, and I just remember when he hit double digits, I just could not keep him full enough. Are you convinced that this is really an emotional attachment to food, or is this just a growing boy who's starving all the time and just can't get enough?
No, he's heavy, and I can tell it is emotional, and he's our 4th son, and so I'm pretty familiar with growing boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I can really see how he goes to food when he's hurting.
And how did you handle, you say there was substance abuse with some of the other sons?
Yes, there was substance abuse with the other children we're still dealing with. So recently we've had a lot of marriage struggles with the alcoholism in our home, and so we're getting through that. We have had sobriety for about 3 months with my husband,
that's not much time.
Yeah, and Charlotte, you've just described the causes for the 10-year-old and his overeating. You're working valiantly through the marriage struggles and the sobriety and all of that, and congratulations, you're working it. But the 10-year-old is acting it out. And as you continue to get victory over some of these things and manage them, it will affect his sense of well-being. And you say he goes to it.
Okay.
He goes to food for emotional
comfort, most likely.
He's different than my other boys in the fact that he's sedentary. He really likes the computer. And I'm working really hard to try and accept him for how he is. The other children.
Yeah, but Dad needs to step in there and try to, you know, get him outside and having some fun with him.
Is he athletic at all?
No, he doesn't. Okay. He doesn't really like athletics. So one of the things I'm doing is I've got him working with a trainer, and
so
I'm trying
Good
to do
you.
Different things. But like, I just noticed yesterday we went out to lunch and just, you know, loaded his plate with carbs, and I was horrified, but I didn't want to say anything because I don't want to hurt him the way my mother hurt me, I guess.
But there's a difference between hurting a child's feelings and educating them about the difference between a carb and a protein and a fat, and just to give him some basic information, to help him, you know, guide his own choices. But yeah, 10 is awfully young to have to deal with that kind of issue. Steve, what kind of advice?
Here's some insight. Not all hurt is harmful. And just because you may have to hurt him a little bit, it doesn't mean it's the same kind of hurt that you had when you were younger. And you don't want to be raising a child based on how you were raised, either not doing things the way it was done or doing them the way it was done. You need to raise a child based on how that particular child needs to be raised. So I would really get out of the mindset that, you know, you need to not hurt him because your mom hurt you. And
okay.
Do what you know needs to be done as if it was a drug that he was addicted to.
Okay, I'm really getting help from Boundaries with Kids. I'm loving that.
Okay, well, let me send you How We Love Our Kids, and I think that's going to be a big help to you also, and I'll send that right out to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. NewLife.com if you need help also. We need your help. We need your support more than we ever have. It is summer. So if there's any way you could come alongside and maybe be a first-time giver and take the place of somebody that has not given in quite some time, it could be a big help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Marilyn Meeberg and Shannon Etheridge. Please check out the great stuff at tv.newlife.com that Shannon has put up. It will definitely help the level of intimacy in your life. Let's go to Stacy from Racine, Wisconsin, watches on NRB television. Hi, Stacy.
Hi. I have a question. My question is, I believe that I was healed several years ago. I've been a Christian for a while, and I have just had an asthma attack again and stuff just last night, and I'm wondering, why did I have an asthma attack when I thought I was healed so many years ago? It's been over 10 years.
Okay.
The question is, why it came upon again.
Okay. We've talked about this a couple of times here on our program, and, you know, Jesus healed a lot of people when he was on the earth, right?
Right.
And there's still supernatural healing that goes on. And I really believe that. I believe that some people are instantly healed of the craving for alcohol. And for some strange reason, they just have no desire for it instantly. But here's the reality about all those people that Jesus healed. They died of something else anyway.
Right.
You know, and so Jesus might have provided you with a time of healing, and the time's up. And it was a gift, but it wasn't a gift that was going to last for eternity. I mean, you know, Lazarus, you can just imagine, you know, he died. You can imagine when he died again, everybody's standing around going, oh, well, is he gone? Is he coming back? I mean, should we mourn?
Is it the real deal this time?
Should we wait a few days? I mean, you know, there's probably a lot of confusion around Lazarus when he died. But he did die of something else because he's not here on the face of the earth. So I would just say to you, don't be disappointed or think that it's something to do with your spiritual state of health that this came back. Be grateful that God gave you some relief for a while. And you know what? It may come back again. And you never know. But don't give up on God. Let's hear
the reason why I was saying that is because of I've been using it as a testimony.
Well, I just can't hear anything you're saying. I can't hear anything you're saying. I am so sorry. Well, we'll just have to let it go at that. But if you two, do you have a comment that you'd like to throw in there about this?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I don't think that we can over-spiritualize a medical condition. To my knowledge, there's no connection between asthma and sin. Yeah. But my daughter had asthma for many years, and I don't think that it was because of her sin. And so, I agree that to over-spiritualize it. And I think that what she was trying to say is, but this has been her testimony for the past 10 years, is that God healed her. Well, does that mean that God isn't on the throne anymore, that her asthma has come back? Of course not. And it's still a strong testimony to say that I was asthma-free for 10 years. I'm struggling with it again, but my faith in God is still rock solid because I know he hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, right. To be able to say that when the asthma came back, I didn't give up on God. You
there
know,
you
I
go. Just,
and then to tell people what I said.
Well, everybody it's an imperfect world with imperfect conditions and circumstances, most of which are medical and have to do with our bodies failing us. But God never fails us. And we try to put him on some sort of a formula. If I do this and this and this, I'm going to get this. And God is not formulaic. It doesn't work that way. But his love is absolute.
Mm-hmm. That's right. All right. I'm really glad that she called and we could talk about that. Let's go to Houston, Texas to talk to Walt, who listens on KKHT. Hi, Walt. How are you?
How you doing, Steve?
Great. What's going on with you today?
Well, I just wanted to give a testimony about, you know, your ministries, because I went to Every Man's Battle in San Jose back in February. My wife went to Women in the Battle in March, I believe, and I've been in sustained victory pretty much since February.
No, that's great.
But, you know, Every Man's Battle has helped me get out of my addiction. I've been 5 months sober now, and it's getting me much closer to the Lord, and I really thank you for that. Unfortunately, I'm getting a divorce from my wife. She served me papers last week, and I hurt her too much and waited too long to get the help I needed. So I'm just kind of want to tell guys out there who are listening that get the help as soon as you can. Don't wait until it's too late like I did. And, you know, even if it's too late for your marriage, it's not too late for you to change your life and to improve yourself.
Well, I'm so sorry about the divorce. I wish I could talk with her and convince her that there's a lot of value to trying to forgive and work it out. But, you know, sometimes things go too far, too long, just like you're saying, and it should be an encouragement to other guys to get the problem taken care of as soon as they can, so some things can stay in place. Well, God bless you. I appreciate you letting us know about your 5 months. And even though she's leaving you, you've maintained those 5 months. And that is a great thing. So God bless you. And I'm really glad that you called. Thank you for calling us and letting us know what you've been going through and what's been going on. We'll take a break and we'll come back for the second half of New Life Live right after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and before we go to Ruth, I just want to mention that Shannon's story is up on tv.newlife.com. If you've never heard it, it's pretty amazing. And it's under the title of Confessions of a Love and Sex Addict. And Shannon talks about how she got in trouble and how she got out and what she's doing and how God has given her a new mission. And it is quite inspiring. I hope you'll go there. It is called Confessions of a Love and Sex Addict at tv.newlife.com. When somebody watched it, they said, wow, what candor and honesty. Thank you, Shannon.
And Steve, let me just say, so many women say, wow, your story is just like my story. And so for those that the story resonates with them, we are doing a Passion Principles workshop to help women heal and to experience sexual and emotional freedom. That workshop is going to be coming up October 10th to the 12th in California. So I hope that they'll be on the lookout for that to be posted on the website very soon.
I love the fact that the Christian world is finally addressing some of these issues that they wouldn't talk about. And women who are struggling don't know who they could talk to. We're human beings in human bodies with human drives and often inappropriately expressed. Okay? Let's learn how to do it God-centered way. Because it's right. Mm-hmm. The body's inclination for intimacy is right. If it's in the right person, in the
right. They can be holy and horny at the same time.
Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, dear.
Okay,
oh,
I shocked her.
Oh, mercy, I have to take off my headpiece.
There she is. She said it. All right. Okay, let's go to Ruth. Hi, Ruth. How you doing?
Great. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help you?
First of all, I want to tell you thank you for New Life TV. I'm a subscriber and a Club New Life member, and I just love it. So,
thank you. Thanks for saying that.
I have a very delicate situation, and I apologize up front because I don't know if I can explain this correctly.
Okay.
I have a family event coming up and a wedding, and the bride, who is my daughter, is considering having a person come to do hair for herself and members of the bridal party that is a man that dresses and lives as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
my objection there is that young children are part of the bridal party, and I feel like that's putting it upon the parents to have a conversation, because it's very apparent this is a man dressed as a woman.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then she would have them come to the wedding, and I know there's guests at the wedding that there may be comments made.
Yeah.
And I don't want to create, I don't want there to be a spectacle at the wedding, and then I also don't want to be in pictures with a look on my face like, okay, what's going on? Do I need to run interference to keep somebody from saying something offensive that could hurt this person as well?
Well, I've got some thoughts. Let's hear from Marilyn and Shannon first. What do you guys think when you hear this?
Oh, mercy. I don't want you calling on me first. My heart goes out to the gentleman, female. I couldn't bear the ridicule and or the scorn or the unkindness that, I'll just say, she could be experiencing. However, there was a choice made by that person. You're not responsible for that choice. But I do love the fact that you feel responsible for the well-being of the person. However, those bridges have already been crossed by him, her. I don't know how to refer to this person, so I'll just say him, her.
Just say him.
Right.
Okay, him. And it isn't your struggle. What is your struggle is if you feel sufficiently concerned by the people at the wedding and in the wedding party and the kids and so on, then that does become a legitimate concern of yours. But be so careful about how you handle that with him.
Yeah, and my concern would be, what message do you send to your daughter when you're saying, I won't allow this? And really, it's her wedding, and it's her choice.
Oh, no,
I'm
not going to say that to her. My question is, I would like to ask her, I know she's in a stressful situation, and I don't think she's thought that far in advance of what could happen. Mm-hmm. And I just want, I would like to say to her.
Do you know this person to be someone who would create a scene, who is a drama king or queen, or, because if he's dressing like a woman, there may not be people who even pick up on the fact that he is a man. But is it that you're more concerned that you know who he is and you know it is going to be a big ugly scene?
I know that it's very, very apparent that it's a man dressed as a woman, and that seeks a little bit of attention that way. Kind of a what are you going to say about it? Attitude. But then I also know people that are going to be there, that it's going to be like, hey, this, I'm not happy about this being here, and I'm going to leave.
Well, you know what? This is your daughter's wedding. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And I think you need to support her decision in whatever way. And when that man comes to the wedding dressed as a woman,
mm-hmm.
I think you ought to act like he's your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you ought to show other people, this is how we treat folks who don't know the Lord. We don't judge people who don't know the Lord. We judge ourselves. And Jesus was the one that did some pretty tough judging of Christians that thought they were better than other people. We don't know this man's past. We don't know what he went through as a little boy and what kind of torture he might have had or what kind of experiences were there. And so I would take just the opposite approach. If some parent has to say to their child, sometimes men dress up like women. It's kind of weird, but they seem to want to do that. That's okay. I mean, they're going to have that conversation sometime, or hopefully they will.
It's a little complicated because they're family members of mine, another child of mine's children, and I'm kind of concerned, and this may be selfish of me, that I'm going to get, that of, Mom, you knew this, and now we have to make this conversation with our children that we were not prepared to make at this
time. And then you say to them, but sweetheart, this was... this was my daughter's wedding, and this is who she chose. And once she chose this person because they're so talented, I chose to act like Jesus would act if he was here.
Okay.
And you're not going to have to apologize for that. Marilyn, Shannon, any thoughts?
I would agree. It sounds like that the people-pleasing part of you really wants to control the situation and make sure that nobody gets their feathers ruffled. But we live in a day where feathers are going to be ruffled.
Good.
Well,
good.
And you're right. You're right to be sensitive. And I'm curious to know, does your daughter realize all the ramifications of this and she still is comfortable? Then I'm hearing you say, that being the case, you are supporting your daughter and it is indeed her wedding. And then you're not responsible for everybody else.
Okay.
First of all,
so I can smile.
And you know, when you say, when you say to your daughter, if you decide to use him, I'm going to be like his best friend. I'm going to treat him like Jesus would. But I do want to be sure you thought this through, and you think that this is a good thing to do. So once you've told her that you're going to accept him and her decision, then you can ask her if she's thought through those things, okay?
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You bet, Ruth.
Wish you the best.
Enjoy the wedding.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I bet their hair is going to look really good.
Probably better than it ever has.
That's what I was thinking.
My mother ran beauty salons, and Herschel was one of the people that worked for her. Herschel, I remember him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best, I'm telling you. He was just really good.
Doesn't have anything to do with your expression of your person. Doesn't have anything to do with your talent, does it? We have we get all hung up on all these things, and it isn't ours to be hung up on.
True.
All right, we'll need to do a segment on that. How do you act like Jesus when you want to be the devil or something like that? We'll figure that
out. We might want to work through that title.
Maybe it needs a little work.
Maybe just a tweaking. But I think that's a viable topic. I truly do. There's a lot of that kind of thing going on.
Hey, if you are full of resentment and bitterness, my good friend Dr. Dave Stoop did a wonderful piece on TV.NewLife.com called The Selfish Act of Forgiving. And I hope
that
you will go there and give that a look. It's pretty amazing. The Selfish Act of Forgiving. It's therapy on demand at TV.NewLife.com. Really, you get a year for the price of less than what it would cost for one therapy session. And we'll tell you stuff your counselor will never tell you.
Steve, you're going to put therapists out of business.
Maybe.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Washington, D.C., July 18th through the 20th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back, and so grateful that my friends Shannon Etheridge and Marilyn Meeberg are there in Dallas. Thank you for joining me today. And I'm hoping and praying that some of you who have been helped by our program today, you might choose to support this ministry. We need all the help that we can get, and we've got so many great plans. We've got some wonderful ideas of helping veterans and making some care available to them that just maybe the government isn't able to provide. So help us, help others, and you know, when you hear these great testimonies about people transforming their lives, well, you're part of that. Our new project is tv.newlife.com, and let's just hear a little clip from John Townsend talking about boundaries.
Sometimes Christians feel guilty about self-protection. Well, that's selfish, or I want to be a nicer person. I want to go the third mile. Hey, I believe in the third mile. Jesus talked about it. But don't ever take one verse and make it an entire theology. You know how many verses are in the Bible? 30,000 verses. You take this one verse that says the third mile, then you're going to burn out and get depressed and lose all your money and not have a great life. You take that verse and then you balance it with other things Jesus said, like sometimes you got to shake the dust off your sandals or let your no be no. And what that passage means is, long story short, Jesus was talking to the legalistic Pharisees who were saying, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. And he said, no, you got to love people more than you do justice with them. That's all he was saying. But you don't let abuse happen and toxicity happen and people have addictions and run your life crazy happen.
John is so, so smart. Mm-hmm. And it is such a blessing to have, it's just
a great blessing. That reminds me of a great quote from Lisa Turkhurst, who said, don't confuse God's command to love with your disease to please.
Very good.
That'll preach.
Very good.
That sounds like a verse, doesn't it?
All right. Our final caller is Joanne from Tallahassee, Florida, listening on the internet. Hi, Joanne.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm really glad to talk to you finally. I've been listening to your show for a few months, and I've got a problem in my marriage I need help with.
Okay, what is it?
My husband, I think, is having a midlife crisis. He's 45, and is not sure he wants to be married to me anymore. And
oh, no.
I don't know what kind of boundaries I need to set with him, because he still wants to sleep with me, and I just would feel horribly used if I, you know, I want to do what's right, but I don't know. I mean, we have a shed in the yard, and he's turned it into a little place where he sleeps. He's put a lock on the door. There's a bed out there, a TV, a computer. He comes and goes as he pleases. He won't talk to me about it. He gets angry. I don't know what I want, and you can't make me decide. Mm. And yet sometimes he's very nice. I don't see why we can't be friends. Why don't we just, you know, friends with benefits, and we don't have to be in a hurry to do anything. But I'm just heartbroken over this, and he doesn't seem to care at all.
Mm. How many years have y'all been married, Joanne?
We lived together for 7 years, and I finally told him, look, I want to get married or I don't want to do this anymore. And so we got married, and we've been together 19 years total, but he keeps saying, you forced me. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to get married to you. I shouldn't have done that. I've never been myself. And
are you a believer?
Yes, yes.
How did you rationalize moving in with him at the time?
I wasn't as much of a believer then as I am now, I can tell you that. But I was 25, and young, and it just progressed, you know. Like you guys say, we didn't decide to get married. We just slid into it after mm-hmm. living together for 7 years, and yeah. we had problems from the beginning. We've never had a really solid relationship.
That's tough.
And are there children involved?
I have a son. He's 19. We don't have any children together.
Okay.
Would he do anything? Would he be willing to go anywhere, marriage weekend, or see a counselor, anything, just for the sake of making you happy?
No. He has told me absolutely not. I've had it with churches. I've had it with your books and your Dr. Phil and your Steve Artleburn and your radio programs, and just leave me alone. No, I want to do what I want to do. I want to sow to the flesh.
Well, okay, then there's your answer, sweetheart.
Yeah. He didn't have to bring me into this.
Yeah, right. You're talking bad talk now.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't go back to being friends with benefits with him. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of learn from your old mistake of mm-hmm. living together for those 7 years and then sliding into marriage. Don't just slide out of the marriage and back into a living together or friends with benefits arrangement. It's either on or it's off. You're married or you're not.
Yeah, but my body, I mean, technically I am married and my body belongs to my husband, right? Do I have the right to say no?
Yes.
I can't prove he's cheated on me. I don't know that he has.
If he refuses to live with you, he's not being your husband.
But he hasn't left. He's living in the yard.
He's not living in the yard. He's not living under the same roof.
You want to be married to somebody who lives in the yard?
Sounds like he's in the doghouse.
He's in the shed.
Yeah, I got you, Joanne.
Comes into our shared home at night, and he eats supper. He plays with the dogs, he chats, and then he says, well, I'll see you later, and he goes out to his shed, and then he comes in the morning for coffee, then he goes to work,
so
then
he comes
home and eats supper.
So he wants you to be his cook and his free prostitute, but he doesn't want to be your husband, and he doesn't want you to be his wife.
No, and
that
I don't
doesn't
understand.
Add up.
Is it because he doesn't love me, or is it because he's scared of losing me, or he doesn't want to pay money?
It's comfortable, sweetheart. Yeah. It's comfortable.
I think he
and
is
you're making
avoiding.
It comfortable.
He's avoiding the consequences of a divorce, the financial consequences, mm-hmm. and sounds like to me he's got exactly what he wants. He's got you cooking for him and all of that, and cleaning, probably do his laundry.
I do everything that I think a wife should do, except
well,
that one
I don't
thing.
Think mm-hmm. I don't think he's entitled to that.
Nope.
And to me,
mm-hmm.
those are the bigger questions than the sex issue.
Yeah, I think that sounds a lot like codependency.
I think you ought to. I would say that you not have sex with him, but that you quit all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I would feel like a dog if I did that. I mean,
you feel like a dog.
He's paying the bills. I'm not working. I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I have been for years. So he's the one working and paying the bills, and I'm living here, and he's made it plain, you know, I'm not getting any benefit here, and you're just living under my roof. And,
oh, my goodness.
You know,
well, he has divorced you then. If he's saying that he has divorced you, he just has not filled out the papers. He's kind of waiting for you to do that, I think.
And I can't fathom how low your self-esteem must be after hearing that kind of stuff.
I think that he cares about me. He knows I'm a good person, and he doesn't want to be the bad guy. But if I leave, I don't want to be. I want to do what's right in God's eyes. So I just, if I need to sleep with him, or he told me, if you do that, maybe it'll help things.
But
I'm just thinking,
that sounds
you
like
need
sexual
to talk
abuse
to me. That's what would help.
You know what?
You've got to go see a therapist that can help you walk through this. This is one of the toughest situations that anybody can be in, and you don't want to be handling this alone. You need some help, and so let us try to find a counselor for you. Also, I would hope that you could get to Healing as a Choice and see if that might be some help to you. I'm so sorry you're going through this, and I'm going to send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. There's some great things in there on how to treat him and be treated. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.